Okay, Luke chapter 6. As you guys are turning there, I want us to be thinking about tests. How many of you guys enjoy taking tests? Depends on what kind, right? Well, some of you, maybe it's been many years since you've had a test. How many of you guys remember when you got a test with a grade that said A plus on it? Okay, it feels good to pass, and especially with an A plus, right? And how do you feel when you get an F? Your heart sinks, right? You failed. Now, these types of tests, a lot of times in school, when it, you know, their grading system is from A down to F, you know, you got a lot of different grades you can get in between, right? But sometimes we have tests that are only pass or fail. There's no in-between grades. So one example I thought of this that you might regularly see, you know, with kids or something is a following directions quiz. How many of you guys have taken one of these? It tells you, before starting this assignment, read all questions carefully. And then it goes through, you know, a bunch of different things, and you have to answer all these silly questions. And then when you get to the bottom, it says, do problem number one only. When you're done, turn it in. So if you've ever seen this done, kids will a lot of times rush through these, and they'll be doing jumping jacks in the classroom and yelling out their favorite animal or whatever it is. And you know right away, like, they totally failed this test, right? Because all you had to do is write your name on it and turn it in. So we have all, whether you've taken this kind of test or not, we've all had tests in our lives, though, where it's pass or fail. There's no in-between. It's black or white. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. There's a test, pass or fail, here in Luke chapter 6. So if you've turned with me there, we're going to read verses 43 through 49. This, again, is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount from Luke's perspective. And it says, for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person, out of the good measure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house, and could not shake it, because it had been built well. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So before we get into this verse by verse, just remember, Jesus is introducing the people listening to his teaching, to his sermon, about a totally different kingdom. The kingdom that he's bringing is different than the world. So we talked a couple weeks ago when we looked at these different lists. Well, we'd say, well, if we're just looking at the top two, we would all say, well, it's nicer to be rich and full of food and laughing and be well liked, right? Versus poor, hungry, mourning, and hated. But Jesus' kingdom is different. And Jesus says, I want you to position yourself different. Because if you put yourself in that box up there in this world, this is what is going to come to you. No more comfort. You will be hungry. You will mourn and weep, and you will be condemned by God. But if we position ourselves to be poor, hungry, mourning, hated for the sake of Jesus, then we will inherit the kingdom of God. We will be satisfied. We will laugh, and our reward will be great in heaven. It's flip-flopped. But Jesus wants his followers to say no to this world that's headed for destruction, and say yes to him so that they can inherit his goodness and his blessing forever. Okay? We also talked last week, Jesus says his followers are going to live totally different than the people of the world. And it's radical living. He calls us to love our enemies.
renounce your rights. Like, position yourself to not fight for your rights. Don't refuse an unsinful request. If someone's in need, give it to them. And go above and beyond maybe what they need and give them more. Be generous. Forgive everyone. Be careful who you follow. And remember, he used this picture language about a speck in someone's eye, but a plank in your own. So deal with your own logs and then go help your brother. Don't be a hypocrite in how you judge. And judge others through God's grace. We are called as Christ followers to judge one another and keep one another walking in holiness. But we don't want to do that hypocritically. We want to say, hey, brother, sister, I know what it's like. I've been there too. And I want to help you. We got to turn to Jesus. Okay, so this is the kingdom living that Jesus is introducing to his followers here. So when we wrap up chapter 6 here, Jesus is using picture language to help teach us some other things. So this isn't the first time that we've heard about trees and fruit in Luke. If we remember back several months ago when we were talking about John the Baptist and his teaching, this is what he was preaching, and people were gathering from all around to hear this. Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So what's he saying? Just to his original audience, just because you're born a Jew doesn't make you right with God. And I think if we bring it into our modern context, just because you're sitting here in church doesn't necessarily mean that you're right with God. And we need to take these things to heart. This is serious. This is hard stuff to hear. Because we want to think, oh, I'm a good person. I go to church. I do what God tells me to do. But do we really? Are we doing it from a clean, pure, postured heart? Okay? So we should be a little scared as we go through these verses, but it's good. The Lord is speaking to us, and he wants us to bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Turn from your sin and follow him. That's what he wants, so that he will continue to bless us and make us more like Jesus. So let's look at verses 43 and the first part of 44 here. This is Jesus now preaching, and he says, "For no good tree bears bad fruit. Nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit." Okay, I got another quiz for you kids, or anyone else that wants to do this. If we just look at the leaves of a tree, now unless you're like really into trees and things like that, it's probably pretty hard to tell what kind of tree this is, isn't it? Stop it, Marilyn. But if we see it with its fruit, we know exactly what kind of tree it is, don't we? Here's another one. If we see this, Marilyn, you know this one?
Milkweed.
Milkweed?
Yeah.
Nope. This is actually also a fruit tree. If you can see the fruit, it's oranges. Okay, again, most of us, even Marilyn this time, couldn't tell based on the leaves what kind of tree this was. But when we get fruit, it's really easy to see, isn't it? One last one. Here's some more. Marilyn.
Apple. Cherry apple.
Apple. Uh-huh. Plums. Okay? So again, all of these examples go to show it takes time to show what kind of fruit a tree will bear. So if we didn't have, you know, the knowledge or a little tree book with leaves in it, you know, if we had a tree growing up in our yard, it might take years for us to finally see what kind of tree that is, right? And it's the same in our lives. What kind of fruit is someone going to bear? Sometimes it takes some time to see, okay, well, this person came to the Lord and it seems like things are going well, but over time you start to see, this is bad fruit. I don't know if that was real. I don't know if they're really abiding in the Lord. And sometimes this is more obvious. So the next section here, the second half of verse 44, Jesus says, "For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Again, Jesus uses this picture. Hopefully my pictures work here. You see the thorns. I saw this last year when I was down in Texas. I could not believe the size of these thorns. You can see it in my hand there. They're a couple inches long. And I found this plant because I bumped up against it. And it hurts, right? And I would never go to this thorn tree to look for a nice, juicy orange. It doesn't happen. So you don't gather figs or pick grapes from thorn bushes. And when Jesus says gathered and picked, think about this. They're already harvested. They already have the good fruit. Where did it come from? And he's saying, we don't go to plants like this and say, wow, this good fruit came from that, right? This produces thorns and it hurts. No one wants to be around this. Look at the fruit that you are harvesting. If you have good fruit, it's probably coming from a good heart. If you're producing bad fruit in your life, it's probably coming from a bad heart. And we need to repent. It doesn't, because you're producing bad fruit doesn't mean that, oh, I'm going to stay this way forever. No, Jesus can prune you and help you produce good fruit. But we need to bear the fruits of repentance. So we need to repent, turn from our sin, and turn to Christ. A person is defined by what is in their heart. So bad fruits. I want you guys to take your cards now. By the way, the markers are permanent, so be careful. I didn't realize that when I bought them on Amazon. But take your markers, take your card. And on one side, I would like you guys to think of bad fruit in your life. We all have it, okay? This might be a sin or an addiction. It might be a fear. It might be something you're hanging on to. But what's something in your life that you would say, this fruit isn't very good? This fruit is kind of unhealthy. This is coming from a place in my heart. I don't like it. I need pruning in this area. Okay? So if you could, this is just for you. We're not going to turn it in or share it or anything like that. This is just an exercise for you guys to do. Feel free to just write down maybe 1, 2, 3, even 4 things that come to mind that you'd say in your life, this is kind of bad fruit. And we're going to come back to this at the end. There was a time for me that I had finished my 2 years of Bible school. I had met Leanne. I got married. I was working as a cow breeder, going to different farms. And if anyone would have asked me at that season of my life, I would have said, I am a Christian. Not only am I a Christian, I'm a strong Christian. Okay? I've been to Bible school. I go to church on my Sundays off. Okay. One of the farms that I went to at the time was owned by the state, and they would use it, the prisoners in my hometown of Waupun, the prisoners at the prisons would often work at this farm on their way out of their sentencing. So it was kind of a way for them to work a job and things like that. So every morning I would start out my morning at the prison farm. So sometimes it was very interesting. But I met this man. I pulled this picture off of Facebook. This is a man named Dan. And Dan was a prisoner at the time at this farm, and he was working there. And I got to talking to him one time when I had a little extra time after breeding one of the cows. And I found out, something got brought up about Christianity and faith. And I said, oh, I'm a Christian. And he was kind of taken aback. He said, really? He said, I said, yeah, why? He's like, well, I heard you talking to another guy last week, and I would have never guessed that you were a Christian. And that moment, church, really humbled me. I had a prisoner calling me out for having bad fruit. And that was very humbling to me. And that was the moment where the Lord started working in my life, saying, you're producing bad fruit, and we're going to work at this. And it took a year or two for me to get to a healthy spot. But it was at this moment, talking to this man, that the Lord used him to call out my bad fruit. Okay? So if we're recognizing bad fruit in our life, look at it as a chance to repent and grow. Don't look at it as this burden that you need to continue to carry, okay? So, the Lord uses people to help reveal what kind of fruit we're bearing. Anyone who's married or has kids, you will find out very quick if you have bad fruit in your life, right? Someone's around you that will either mimic you or point it out. It happens. But by God's grace, He wants us to produce good fruit. So He will get to these places and call us to repentance. If you would turn with me, I've been here many times before. It's one of my favorite passages, but I want to turn to John 15. And we're going to read through verses 1 through 11. So this is something Jesus spoke to his disciples not long before he was going to go to the cross. But I think he really wanted his followers to know this. Okay, again, I love how Jesus teaches. He uses this picture language so that we can better understand. And he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I love that last verse especially. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. We don't abide in Christ as like, oh, I have to. No, when we abide in Christ, we become more joyful. We're connected to Him. We start to be like Him. We start to bear the fruits of Christ when we abide in Him. If we want to be good, if we want to have good treasure, if we want to bear good fruit, we must be in the fruitful one. So it starts with putting our faith in Jesus and who He says He is. And it continues by us looking to Jesus for everything. Abiding in Jesus means I keep my eyes fixed on Him. And everything, it's almost like a lens that we wear. When we look to the world around us, we see it in light of Christ living in us and working through us. That's abiding in Christ. So we must abide, we must dwell, we must stay in Jesus, we must surrender to Him if we want to be good and produce good fruit. Let's turn back to Luke chapter 6. Verse 46, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Think about that. Some people are calling Him Lord. Well, what does Lord mean? We're going to look at the definition here. I pulled this right off the online dictionary. It's a noun. Someone or something having power, authority, or influence, a master or ruler. So some people are saying, Jesus, you're the master of my life. And Jesus is saying, well, if I'm really your master, if I'm your Lord, why do you call me that and not do what I say? And church, this should humble us. So Lord is someone having power, authority, influence, a master or ruler. I went back this week and I looked back just in Luke, just as far as we've gone through as a church here on Sundays. And so far, Jesus has resisted Satan. He preaches with authority. He's healed a man with a demon. He told Simon where to get the catch of a lifetime. He healed a leper. He healed a paralytic. He called a tax collector to repentance. He stood up to political and religious rulers. He healed a man with a withered hand. He's ministered to a great multitude. I think it's safe to call Jesus Lord. Amen? Amen. This guy can do everything. And we're only in Luke chapter 6. But I think just even going this far in Luke, we could easily say, Jesus, you are Lord. So then the question is, well, if we call him Lord, if we recognize him as that, why don't we do what he tells us to do? Why don't we obey him? Is it right to call him Lord and not do what he says? Verse 47. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Again, Jesus is using picture language. This should be easy for us to understand that. We got a picture. Jesus is saying, the man who listens to me is like a man who built a house on a strong foundation, and the one who doesn't listen to me is like one who built his house on the sand. So let's turn to our modern time. Here I have a picture. This made the news several years ago. This is one house on Mexico Beach, Florida, that withstood Hurricane Michael. If you saw a bigger picture, you'd see even more devastation behind it. But there is one house barely touched. I mean, maybe a little corner of the roof there. But you can see this house withstood Hurricane Michael. When this man that built the house was interviewed, LeBron Lackey, he said he spent 20% more to go above and beyond the Florida building codes. He invested more money into his house so that it could withstand a storm. He put in 1 foot thick concrete walls, 40 foot pilings driven into the ground, and steel cables holding the roof down. And he did this all in good weather. But he knew that storms would come. And he knew that putting some investment, some extra investment into something that would withstand the storm would be worth it. And now, Florida is starting to model all construction after this guy. Interesting the influence that one person can have when they invest in something worthwhile. Amen? So Storm Michael came, 160-mile-an-hour winds, strongest hurricane to hit the Florida panhandle, and there his house stands. And now just to look at another picture, a house built with not a good foundation. I don't know where this one was from, but I just found a picture online. This person has some problems, don't they? But when we see these pictures, church, this... what Jesus is saying here should really sink in. What are we building our house on, our life on? Is it a firm foundation that can weather storms? Because life will bring storms, won't it? And will our life, our hearts, withstand the storms because we've built them on a foundation that lasts, or do we shift along with the storm? And I've been in this position many times. This is Joey trusting in his emotions right here. It's a house that's falling down. But when I put my faith in Christ, when I'm facing something, it doesn't matter what comes. I'm secure in my faith in Christ. Ephesians 2. Been spending a lot of time in Ephesians lately with our study. It's just also one of my favorite books. But Ephesians 2, 19 to 22, Paul says this. So then, he's talking to the church, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We're getting this house picture again. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Okay, so the cornerstone is the first stone laid. It has to be perfect for you to build the rest of the foundation on that. If you don't have that perfect stone, the alignment's going to be off. The foundation's going to give way at some point. Okay, so we have the cornerstone. The perfect cornerstone is Christ Jesus. The apostles and prophets, the people that he first called to himself, is the foundation. And then in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. By coming to faith in Christ, you are like a brick in the household of God. And I was talking to a friend earlier this week about this. You can't be part of a house and not be connected to other parts, right? If you want to be part of that house, you have to be a brick surrounded by other bricks. It's so important to be part of a local church. You can't do it on your own. No one's going to look at a brick and say, wow, look at that beautiful house. But all together, they make something beautiful, don't they? Not only are we a temple, a household of God together, but each individual has the Spirit put within them to be a dwelling place of God. So we are filling ourselves with the Spirit as we are filling the church with the Spirit in unity, in love, in service to one another. It's beautiful. But where's the foundation of all of this? It's Jesus. Jesus is the perfect cornerstone by which this whole thing is built. So when Jesus is saying, you call me Lord, you better have the right foundation. If you have the right foundation, you can withstand. If you call me Lord but don't do what I say, this is what you're like. You're like a house that's just going to crumble when it happens. Ephesians 2, I'm going to back up here, verses 8 and 10. I want to touch on this before we close up. Because a lot of this is what we've read today, it's based on good works. Okay? We are not saved by our works. People have tried that for thousands of years, and it doesn't work. You have to be perfect to please God. So, Paul says in verses 8 and 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're only saved by God's grace. And we enter into that through faith in Jesus. And then when we're in Christ Jesus, we do good works. That's the fruit we bear by being in Christ, by abiding in him. If you're not bearing good fruit, you're probably not connected to the true vine. But when we read in John 15, even the ones that are bearing some fruit, he prunes so that they bear more fruit, which was my whole point of the exercise of the cards. So if you guys have them, you can take them out again. We do need pruning, church, because we don't always abide well. But we want to, don't we? We want to produce as much fruit as Jesus will produce in us and through us. So we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, for good works. And this is produced by abiding in Christ, by saying yes to our Lord. So on the flip side of the card, I want you guys to write two words. No and Lord. And I would maybe encourage you guys, just keep this in your Bible. Carry it around in your pocket if you want for a while. Let's get this into our head, okay? We have maybe some bad fruit that we've written down on the back. Things in our life that we've basically said no to Jesus. But we're probably calling him Lord. So the challenge would be then, when you look at this, are you going to say no, or are you going to say Lord? This is the test. You can't pick something in between. It's one or the other. That's how we need to live, church. And it is hard. I'm not going to lie. It's hard. Because there's a lot of things in my life I want to say no to Jesus. And it's wrong. I actually don't know better. I need to say, Lord, I trust you. Even though I don't understand, even though it looks like it's going to be painful to me, sacrificial to me, people might make fun of me, life's going to get hard, but if I say Lord, he's going to produce good fruit. Because that's what he does. He can't not produce good fruit. So let's get in the habit of looking at this and saying, what am I saying? I want to fix the stuff on the back. You can try all you want in your own strength. It's not going to work. A lot of times it'll get worse. But if we stop fighting in our own strength and we start saying, Lord, things will change. He will produce good fruit in you and through you far more than you can imagine, so that your joy may be full. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the only fruitful one. And you invite us to be connected to you, to abide in you, so that we can be fruitful too. And it's not our own fruit that we muster up, it's your fruit. And Lord, in your grace, you prune us. And sometimes that pruning is painful, and we don't like it. But Lord, give us the faith to still say, yes, Lord. Lord, forgive us for the many, many times that we have said no to you. And I pray that this day would be a breakthrough for us as we consider our sins and our struggles and our fears and our addictions, Lord, and that we would hand them over to you. Lord, we trust that you are going to produce good fruit. Give us faith. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.